Okay, good morning. Sorry, I'm sorry you're all muted for now. Just the only way it works with the group. Okay, so we're going to start. Last week we did two brachas. We did the bracha of Olam HaShinim and the bracha of Al HaTzadikim. And today we are continuing and moving along in the Shemayna Esrei. And the two brachas, maybe we'll see if we get to more, but the two brachas that we're going to be starting with today, both talk about actually the coming of Mashiach. So one of them is Vil Yerushalayim, right, that Hashem should rebuild the city of Yerushalayim. And the second one that we're going to be hopefully getting to is Es Tzemach David, Avdecha, which we hope that Hashem will, as you say, the offspring of your servant David, may he speedily cause to flourish. There is an opinion that originally they might have been one bracha, both of them. They are both similar themes in the sense where they are, where we are eagerly waiting and asking for Mashiach, for the salvation. But we'll see today that they each have their own unique, specific request. What is fascinating and something to keep in mind before we read the bracha inside is that, as we said, the Shemayna Esrei actually is very specific in the way it's structured. And the structure of the Shemayna Esrei contains both the individual requests, the communal requests, the spiritual, and the physical. Fascinating is that these brachas that we are going to be talking about today, that we're going to understand a little bit deeper today, both fall into the communal, but they are the physical of the communal. Fascinating, we're talking about the coming of Mashiach, the yearning for Mashiach, the yearning for the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, and yet they are referred to as physical needs. They are needs just like we ask for health, and Hashem should give us parnasa. So too, the way we view these concepts that we are talking about today, they're not just abstract concepts. They are literally needs that we have, just like we need to breathe, we need Yerushalayim, and we need Mashiach. So let's understand how that works, why that is. So we'll start with the first bracha of Yerushalayim. We'll read it as I do every time. I'll just read the Ashkenaz and the Nusach Ari quickly, and then we'll analyze it more in depth. So the bracha says, Vil Yerushalayim. This is the second bracha that has this vav, which means it's a continuation from the previous bracha, and Yerushalayim. And it's interesting, why is it a continuation? Because the previous bracha we mentioned, we spoke beautifully about the righteous people that were praying on behalf that Hashem should bless the tzaddikim, the righteous people. And here we say, where do the righteous people live? Where is their home? In Jerusalem. That's the place where they can live. So it's a direct continuation. Just sorry, one more quick thing. Last time I forgot to mention, at the end of the last bracha, we said, Baruch at Hashem Mishan u'miftach latzadikim, that Hashem is the mainstay, the assurance of the righteous. He's the one that, as we mentioned last time, a lot about the concept of bitachin. But the idea of tzadikim, righteous, is not just a select few. It's something important for us to remember. We say, V'ameich kulam tzadikim, the entire nation, we are all referred to as righteous. So we are all included in that bracha as well. Coming to now, which means that where is our focus? Where do we call home? Where is our permanent home? In Yerushalayim. And we say, V'li Yerushalayim ircha berachamim toshuv, to Jerusalem, your city, may you return in compassion. V'sishkain b'seicha kasher dibarta, and may you rest within it as you have spoken, and we'll see, as you have promised, as you have prophesied. Uvnei oisa b'korev b'yameinu binyan oilam, may you rebuild it soon in our days as an eternal structure. V'chisei David mehera l'seicha tachin, and may you speedily establish the throne of David within it. Baruch atah Hashem, Boinei Yerushalayim. Blessed are you, Hashem. Here they translate the builder of Jerusalem. Boinei, we'll see later, it's very important, is actually in the present tense. It is being built as we speak. That's the Ashkenaz. I'll just quickly read the Nusach Ari. Very, very, very similar, but just quickly, and then we'll analyze and understand it a little bit deeper. Again, so Vil Yerushalayim, again, the same thing, and to Jerusalem, ircha, your city, berachamim toshuv, you shall return with compassion. in mercy. V'sishkain b'seicha kasher dibarta, dwell in it as you have promised. V'chisei David avdecha mehera b'seicha tachin, and speedily establish within it the throne of David your servant. Uvnei oisa b'karayv b'yameinu, rebuild it speedily soon in our days, binyan olam, as an everlasting, as an eternal building. Baruch Ata Hashem, Boine Yerushalayim. Blessed are you, Hashem, who rebuilds Yerushalayim. Now let's understand what's this concept of this bracha. Why are we asking for it? Where does it come into our Shemayna Esrei? Why it is such an integral need that we all have, that every single day, three times a day, or at least twice a day, this is what we ask for. So as we said, it's a direct continuation of the previous bracha. It even has the "and." So where can we live? Where is our home? Only in Jerusalem. What type of a Jerusalem? A Jerusalem which is called Ircha, the Yerushalayim, which is the city of God. Not just a physical structure, not just a beautiful structure, which it is, but it is Yerushalayim, the city of Hashem. What does that mean? So if you think about it, we have Yerushalayim. You can go, hopefully we can all go and visit Yerushalayim very soon, even today, and people live there. It's built up. It's not in ruins, so to speak. But this is obviously a much deeper request. We're not just asking for a physical Jerusalem. Obviously, we're asking for a Jerusalem which is built up in its entirety, in its completion, which means physically, spiritually together. It's very interesting. Yerushalayim, as we know, is so much the focus, as we say, of our davening. It's the direction which we daven in. What does, when we say the word Yerushalayim, what does it immediately bring up to us? What is a complete city of Yerushalayim? A complete city of Yerushalayim is a city which contains the built Beis HaMikdash in it. It's a city which has its full spiritual greatness in a revealed way. So even though we don't mention specifically the Beis HaMikdash, we are obviously referring to a city which is built with its heart, because the heart of Jerusalem is the Beis HaMikdash. And we understand, we know that Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, especially the place where the Mizbeach, the altar was, that's where Adam HaRishon was created from. Like, that's the origin of all of us. That's where we all come from. So it's our source, in a sense. And that's why it's so much our yearning and our need, literally, that we need it to be rebuilt, we need to be able to have it, we need to be able to be there. Just to understand a little bit about the way that it's such a beautiful, we always talk about Yerushalayim, we have now many songs, but there are also beautiful, beautiful concepts from the Nevi'im and from the Gemara, which describe Yerushalayim. As it says in the Gemara in Kedushin, it says that 10 measures of beauty came into the world, and Yerushalayim took 9 of them, and the rest went to the rest of the world. So it's considered the most beautiful city in the world. It says in the Gemara, in Gemara Sukkah, it says, someone who never saw Yerushalayim in her splendor never saw a delightful city in his life. So it is the place, so to speak. Interesting, we say that, what do we talk about when we mention, as we said, we mean a complete city with both aspects, obviously, both aspects working together, the spiritual and the physical. There's a fascinating discussion in the Gemara that says that when the Jewish people used to go up, we know they used to go up to Yerushalayim, Aliyah L'Regel, 3 times a year, on Pesach, on Shavuos, and on Sukkot. And it says, the Gemara says, wouldn't it be nice if Jerusalem was like a city which had everything, and that would really attract us to it? For example, he says, why are there no fruits of Genosar in Jerusalem? Not everything is contained in Jerusalem. And so that the festival of pilgrims should not say, had we merely ascended in order to eat the fruits of Genosar in Jerusalem, it would have sufficed us. In other words, Hashem doesn't want it to have every single physical greatness, because when we go to Jerusalem, it is a beautiful city, and it's a city where we feel whole and complete, but our main emphasis is the spiritual energy which is found there. As we say, why aren't the springs of Tveria, the Gemara asks, found in Jerusalem? So we shouldn't say we're going to Jerusalem for the springs of Tveria. In other words, we're going for the own sake, for Jerusalem's sake itself. Interesting, the Gemara says a fascinating thing. It says that there was a time at one point in Jewish history that specifically school teachers, people who were hired to teach young children, were asked to actually live in Yerushalayim. Why should they live in Yerushalayim? Because we have the famous pasuk, Ki mitzion teitzei Torah udvar Hashem Yerushalayim, right? That from Tzion, Torah comes out, and the word of God comes out from Jerusalem. It is the source of all inspiration. If the teachers will live there, they will be inspired by watching the Kehanim, and then they will go back and be able to inspire their students. We have that for all of us, and we just recently did this in our Chumash year. You know, we have quite a few mitzvahs which we talk about going up to Jerusalem. So the famous ones are the three times of the year of the pilgrimage, of the Aliyah L'Regel, but we also have the Maaser Sheni during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, that they had to eat specifically those fruits in Yerushalayim. We have the Bikurim, that we had to take up the first fruits. We have the fourth year, the first 3 years are Arla, we're not permitted to eat. The fourth year, what do? We take the fruits up to Jerusalem. And the Sefer HaChinuch, we did this in the Chumash, it was beautiful, explained so beautifully. He said, what's the purpose of taking the fruits and eating it specifically in Yerushalayim? Or if you're unable to carry it because it's too heavy, taking the money and spending it. But the main thing is that you realize that we are actually going physically to Yerushalayim and spending time there. What's the purpose of that? Because, as the Sefer HaChinuch says magnificently, what happens then is that every single household will have at least one member who will spend time in Yerushalayim, be inspired, be uplifted, learn, come back home, and every home will have a representative who has been to Jerusalem. It's not enough that in the city there should be one rabbi who can inspire you. No, that's not enough. Every household has to have a member who spends time in Yerushalayim. Just being there is itself such an uplifting, and it imparts and it gives us such a strength, and we take that back with us to our homes. Now, we said that in the as we saw in the words, it says, V'Yerushalayim Ircha. Whose city is it? Hashem's city. And we're very specific with that. What does it mean, Hashem's city? Because we're talking about a city which contains the revelation of Hashem's presence. It's like you literally touch spirituality. That's the city. And it's not just that there, but it's actually the source of spirituality for the whole world. We have a lot of these prophecies and these words have been made into modern songs, but there's a very beautiful pasuk from Yeshayahu which says, Yerushalayim oyrei shel oylam. Jerusalem is the light of the world. And then it actually says, and Hashem is the light of Jerusalem. It's considered the light of the whole world. We say that it inspires the world. It is where the spirituality comes first, and from there spreads out to the entire world. Now, we have a fascinating idea, and this is a very important one to remember also. When we talk about Yerushalayim, we are talking about Yerushalayim in the land of Israel that we have now, that we can go, and we're obviously even now it contains tremendous spirituality. We're hoping and praying for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash when it will be truly revealed. But nevertheless, there's also a very interesting concept that the Jerusalem down here has a corresponding Yerushalayim above. We say there's a Yerushalayim Shel Maila and a Yerushalayim Shel Mata. So to speak, a Yerushalayim up above and a Yerushalayim down below. And there's a very interesting thing, there's a fascinating thing that the Gemara says, the words that the Gemara uses, it says that Rabbi Yechanan says, Hashem says, I will not enter the heavenly Jerusalem until I enter the earthly Jerusalem. Exactly the opposite of the way we would think. But Hashem promises almost, he's almost exiling himself from the heavenly Jerusalem until he enters fully into the Jerusalem that we have down here. But what does that mean? Because we say, and we have this beautiful pasuk in Tehillim, Yerushalayim is ki'ir shechubra layachtav. It is a city which is built together with itself. What does it mean to together with itself? Because there's these two components of Yerushalayim. There's the Yerushalayim down here, and there's the counterpart, the Yerushalayim above. And when we say Yerushalayim ki'ir shechubra layachtav, also what it means is that Yerushalayim, being the complete city which it is a city of unity. It is actually the united force of the whole world, because it's where Hashem is revealed. And it's a city which not only represents this concept of unity, but it causes unity. And that's why when we go to Jerusalem and the Jewish people would go up three times a year, it would actually create a bond that would be such a strong bond that even when they left, the bond didn't go. And this is what the power of Yerushalayim is. Ki'ir shechubra layachtav, a city which unites. But it also unites, as we know, the physical and the spiritual. And that's why we also, in the bracha, what do we say? Ka'asher dibarta. What does that mean, ka'asher dibarta? As we said, as you have spoken. It's a city which Hashem is revealed and will, please God, rebuild soon and be revealed in a real way that we can all feel and experience. And Hashem promised this to us. And we know, well, there's many places that Hashem promised, but just a few of the psukim we have, the pasuk in Tillim we say every day in davening, Bainei Yerushalayim Hashem, Nitche Yisrael Yichanes, right, that Hashem, the builder of Jerusalem, who will gather in all the outcasts of the Jewish people, which actually ties in the two ideas of the ingathering of the exiles with the rebuilding of Jerusalem. And they are both dependent on each other. And that's what we are waiting for. And so we say, when will Hashem rebuild Jerusalem? When he will gather all of us from all the four corners of the earth. Beautiful pasuk in Yeshayahu, also as part of the Haftarah that we are going to be saying now. It says, Pitzchu rannu yachtov charavais Yerushalayim, burst out in song, sing together, O ruin of Jerusalem. Why? Ki nicham Hashem amoy, because Hashem has consoled his people, Ga'al Yerushalayim. He has redeemed Jerusalem. So Jerusalem is waiting for its redemption. It's part and parcel of our redemption. It all goes together. The rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, the unity of the Jewish people, all of us coming together in Yerushalayim. We say a very beautiful thing, it's magnificent in the prophecies of Zechariah. So all these are absolutely beautiful. So there he describes and he says, Koyamar Hashem Tzvakos, Bayomim Hahema, Asher Yachziku Asara Anoshim, Mikol Lishaynais Hagoyim. So it's a prophecy that will happen, and we can say that it is already happening nowadays, that in those days when 10 men of all the languages of the nations, which means that Yerushalayim, as we say, is a city of inspiration, of spirituality, not just for us. Everybody realizes it now. It's a city where everybody looks to for that spiritual inspiration, and therefore what will happen is that people from all over the world, of all nationalities, will see us going up, and as it says, men of all languages of the nations, what are they going to do? They're going to see us going up. V'hechziku b'knaf ish Yehudi, they'll hold on to the corners of the garments of the Jews. In other words, they'll be literally tagging along and holding on, and also ascending to Jerusalem to be able to be inspired. Why? And they say, let us go with you, for we have heard that Hashem is with you. And we see it nowadays, more and more people are realizing and feeling that. This is the idea. So this is what we're asking for. This is what we're waiting for, all these prophecies to be fulfilled. And then we also say, obviously, what's the real rebuilding of Jerusalem? When we have the Beis HaMikdash. When the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt there, then we will have the true rebuilding of Yerushalayim. And we have, this is from the Medrash. The Medrash tells us that this is talking about Mashiach, that Hashem will lead you up from the utmost parts of the north. And the Mashiach, whose place is in the north, will come and build the Beis HaMikdash, whose place is in the south. Now, this is an interesting question, because the question that we have is, we're saying here that, what does it say? It says, Berachamim, right, that you should return with compassion, and that you should rebuild Jerusalem. Who's rebuilding Jerusalem? Whose job is it? Is it us, or is it Hashem? Is it Mashiach as a person? Who's going to rebuild Jerusalem? How's that going to happen? So this is a very, very interesting discussion. So first of all, we know that the Rambam sets out very, very clearly that this is the job of Mashiach, to literally rebuild Yerushalayim. That's one of his big jobs. And I can read you just a few of the words from the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBchira. He says, that is a positive commandment to construct a house for Hashem, right? To build the Beis HaMikdash, which, as we said, is part, that is one of the most important parts of the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. And it says the most preferable way, this is the words of the Rambam, to fulfill the mitzvah is by strengthening the building and glorifying it within the means of the community. Which means, as he says, that they must make it beautiful and attractive according to their capabilities. And as we say, if possible, it's a mitzvah to plate it with gold and to aggrandize it in any respect. Which means, you can see what the Rambam is saying, everyone is obligated to build and to assist, both personally and financially. Men and women, just like we did with the Mishkan, which shows that as far as the building of the Beis HaMikdash and the rebuilding of Yerushalayim as a city, not every single one of us can physically go up and build the Beis HaMikdash, right? That's not the way it works. But nevertheless, financially, we will be able to contribute, and everybody with whatever they are capable, whatever the unique qualities they have, they will all be together rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. So it sounds like from the Rambam that it is us that rebuilds Jerusalem and rebuilds the Beis HaMikdash. And yet, if you look into Rashi, in many of the places in the Gemara, Rashi says, the Beis HaMikdash for which we yearn has already been built and finished. It will be revealed and will come from heaven, right? The famous thing, the Beis HaMikdash is going to come down. It's already waiting up there. It's just waiting to descend from the heavens. So, are we rebuilding it? Is it already built and it just has to, so to speak, descend? How do we reconcile? So first of all, just one very important thing to explain why we have these two different approaches and why is it important. The building of Yerushalayim by Hashem, as we know, what will that add if it is Hashem himself that builds it? It ensures that it is an eternal building. Eternal rebuilding. And then that's what we're asking for, right? We're saying that it should be a binyan oilam, eternal. It should be permanent. The only way that it's possible for Yerushalayim to be built permanently and for the Beis HaMikdash to be built permanently is if it's man-made, if it's God-made. If it's man-made, it's temporary. Made in China, it's temporary. Only if it's made by Hashem himself is it permanent. That's what we say. That's the aspect of the permanence. But what's the advantage if it's built by man? And therefore, so why don't we just say, well, yeah, Hashem is building it up there. Let it just, we daven that it should just come down. What's the concept of us contributing? As we said, we contribute financially, we contribute physically, we contribute with ourselves. And obviously in the spiritual rebuilding, we contribute, and we'll see soon, with all of the things that we do through every day, throughout the time of Golus, we are building the Beis HaMikdash as we go along. Why? Why is that important? Because if it's just made by Hashem, even though it is eternal, if it's just coming upon us as a gift, as an external gift, then we are not, if we're not worthy, if we haven't refined ourselves, if we haven't involved ourselves in the building, it is something which is separate from us. It's not internal. It might be eternal, but it won't be internal. It won't be something that will be ours. It's so cute when you see little children, you see, they always say, myself. That's one of the first words a two-year-old says, is myself. Whether they can do it or they can't, they want to do it themselves. Why? When you do it yourself, you own it. Even if it's a lesser quality, it's yours. You feel so a part of it. And that's why in this bracha, what we are really saying to the Eibishter is we are asking him to build Jerusalem, right, like he promised. But we have to be partners with him. That's what we're asking. We're asking Hashem that he should enable us to be partners with him in the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, in the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, that we should retain that focus and be as much as possible a partner. Because then when it will be revealed, it will be ours. We will literally feel it as ours, and we will feel that it's our home. And that's what we're all waiting for. So this is the boat. But the interesting thing, there's another way, there's two ways of reconciling who's doing it. So one beautiful way it says is that we can look at it as if like a person has a body and a neshama. So we're building the body of Jerusalem, and Hashem is building the neshama, so to speak. What happens, what we're asking for, is the neshama to come into the body, which is the complete form. Obviously, we're both contributing to both, but the idea being that there's the full Jerusalem that's going to be rebuilt, the body with the soul connected. Another way that's interesting is that in Yeshayahu, there's a very interesting pasuk that's hard to understand, and the pasuk uses a language which is very contradictory in the same pasuk, and it talks about that Hashem will reveal Himself, you know, Mashiach will come, and the language that's used is Be'ita Achishena, which means at the right time, I will come, in its time, I will hasten it. In its time, I will hasten it. If it's in time, it's not early. If it's early, it's not on time. How do you have both together? And there's a concept, there's a whole concept about Mashiach coming early. If we're worthy, it'll come early. If we're not worthy, even if we don't merit, there's a certain time by which Mashiach has to come. So according to some opinions, if Mashiach comes early because we've merited it, then it's our building. But if Mashiach comes because of the time is up, then it's Hashem's building. So that's another way of reconciling. But obviously, the truth is, it's both together. We are building the Beis HaMikdash, so to speak, with Hashem. That's what we're waiting for, and that's what we're hoping for, and that's what we are doing. We're actively doing it now. And that's why it's an extremely important bracha that we say, Boinei Yerushalayim, in the present tense. I want to share one beautiful idea before I might repeat a little bit in a second. I hope you forgive me because this is just from a few different sources. But just one beautiful, beautiful concept about this building of Yerushalayim. You know, Yerushalayim is one of the cities that is known famously for its wall, right? It's one of the walled cities, one of the original walled cities. And we still have some of the walls. I mean, now we don't have the original, but the walls around Jerusalem, right? It's a walled city. What's the idea of a walled city? And interestingly, one of the prophecies that we say about the time of Mashiach is, and some people have a song with these words, Prozais Teshev Yerushalayim. There's a beautiful Chassidish song with those words. What does Prozais Teshev Yerushalayim mean? That in the time of Mashiach, we will sit in Jerusalem without its walls. It will be unwalled. It will be open. What's the idea? Because usually when you have walls around a city, what's the concept of a wall? The concept of a wall is to protect those who are in the city from enemies who perhaps want to invade and harm. So generally speaking, a wall is there because you don't feel secure. You feel a little bit endangered. When you have a city which doesn't have a wall, that's considered a city where the inhabitants are so strong and so confident in their strength that they don't have to make a wall around it. They're not worried about anybody coming and harming and invading their city. So interesting that that's why we have this prophecy that in the future, Yerushalayim will be a city with no walls. It will be so secure. There will be no need for any protection. We won't be afraid of any invasion. But there's a very fascinating pasuk that says another thing. It's also, it's in the Navi. It says, Va'ani eheyela, Hashem says, I will be for it. Chaymas, chayma is a wall. What kind of a wall? Of Eish, a wall of fire, Soviv, surrounding it. Which actually sounds like it will still have a wall. What type of a wall? A wall of fire, which Hashem will be, and it will surround Jerusalem. Does Jerusalem need protection? Does it not? Is it secure? Is it not? So what is the idea? So the truth is like this, that as we said, one of the reasons you have a wall is to protect the people inside. There's another reason. There's another purpose that a wall can serve around the city. Sometimes we build a wall around the city because the city itself contains so much preciousness, so much uniqueness, so many gifts that we don't want them to be misdirected and go to the wrong place. So in other words, it would be figuratively like as if somebody has tremendous amount of intelligence and they don't want the intelligence to go and to end up in the wrong hands, so to speak. The idea being here, we might say that the great unique spirituality of Yerushalayim needs, so to speak, to be contained within its borders, because otherwise it could end up in the wrong place and feed the impurities. They can sustain themselves from the great holiness of Yerushalayim. We don't, God forbid, want that. So a wall can serve both purposes, both by protecting the people inside, as well as protecting what's inside from it going to the wrong places outside. When Mashiach will come, we have a very beautiful idea here. Yerushalayim will have both aspects. It will be an unwalled city in the sense we don't need protection anymore, not physically and not spiritually. We will be so secure because Hashem will be so revealed. We will be so aware of, and our focus will be so much on the right thing, because that's all that we will see and that's all we will know. And we will be yearning, and not just yearning, but we will be pulled to doing the right thing. So we don't need the wall as a protection. But we will have a wall of fire. What's the wall of fire? The wall of fire will ensure that all the holiness of Yerushalayim will go only where it's meant to go. And that will be all over the world, to different places, but it will be places and things that are worthy of accepting and worthy of retaining and worthy of receiving the holiness of Yerushalayim. And this also is a lesson for us, because we're all like a mini city of Yerushalayim. We always say we're a mini Beis HaMikdash, and all of us have the aspects of Yerushalayim. So we have to make protections that we don't allow the wrong things to come in, right? All the wrong influences to come in. And we also want to be careful that what we give out is directed in the right way. Now we have to be very careful of both. When Mashiach will come, we will be able to let our guard down. We don't have to be so careful about the environment. The environment will be pure. It will be good. If anything, we would like to receive all the goodness, everything possible to be able to serve Hashem more. But when Mashiach will come, what we will do is we will be able to take the holiness that we have worked on, that we have tried for so long to refine ourselves, and that we will be able to spread outward to all of those who are capable of receiving it. And this is like that wall of fire. So it won't be a wall of stone anymore, but it will only be a wall of fire, a wall of inspiration. And that's what we're hoping for in the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. Just want to see, there's just a few more very beautiful ideas about Yerushalayim, because you know why, you know, we always say Yerushalayim, 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 like what so, you know? So what do we know about Yerushalayim? One of the big things, as we said, was that Adam HaRishon, man, was created originally from the, you know, from the dirt of where the Mizbeach is, right? Adam Mokem Kaparosai Nivra. The person is created from the place of his forgiveness, so to speak, of his atonement. So that's one of the things we know about Yerushalayim throughout history. We have many special things about Yerushalayim. We know that Yerushalayim is the place where, I just want to see exactly, I mean, there were so many, so I don't want to miss. There was Noyach. We know that, interesting, Noach built his Mizbeach when he came out of the Teva. Where was that? That was in Yerushalayim. Where was the Akedah? Akedah Yitzchak? Yerushalayim. It's all Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is, and then obviously we had the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, all built in this holy city of Yerushalayim. I just want to see, there was one more very, very beautiful thing. Another thing that because we mentioned that this bracha is connected to the previous bracha, because where did tzaddikim live? They live in Yerushalayim. Obviously, that's their home, both in the spiritual sense and in the physical sense. But we also say that there's another very deep connection, because we mentioned that the Yerushalayim down here corresponds, has a corresponding spiritual city. And some people explain that's the concept of tzaddikim, that tzaddikim are like the spiritual city of Jerusalem. Where do they belong? Obviously, in the corresponding spot to the Jerusalem of the physical Jerusalem. They have to be together. That's when it's complete. That's when things are proper, as we say. I just want to see, because there was one or two more very, very beautiful things. Oh, another beautiful thing, it says that when Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mishkan, originally, when Hashem told him to build the Mishkan, which was the mini Beis HaMikdash, the first place where Hashem would reveal himself, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, you came up on the mountain on Har Sinai, and you witnessed many magnificent spiritual things. I want you to build the Mishkan down here, corresponding to everything you saw above. And one of the examples given is that Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Malachim, the angels, and the words that we even use in davening is Srafim Oimdim, the angels were standing, surrounding Hashem. So too we have Atzei Shittim Oimdim, the pillars of wood which were standing, and they correspond to those angels. Which means that everything in the Mishkan, and then afterwards in the Beis HaMikdash, is built corresponding to the spiritual Beis HaMikdash, which is surrounding Hashem, the spiritual revelation surrounding Hashem. Okay, I just want to see. Oh, now two more beautiful ideas that we have in the bracha itself, because we say, as we mentioned, Yerushalayim Ircha, we're talking about God's city, a spiritual city. But then we also say Birachamim, with compassion. Why do we need compassion? Because we say to Hashem, even if we don't deserve it, do it out of compassion. Just do it for you. And not only that, but return to your city of Jerusalem, because that's also your home and that's where you want to be. So it's not just for us, it's for your sake as well. So to speak, hopefully motivating Hashem to rebuild the city of Yerushalayim. Just want to see, there's one or two more. Oh, I just want just a little bit more of the imagery. Just sometimes when we daven, if we could remember, it's also very beautiful when we imagine. I mean, we have so many beautiful, as we say, beautiful songs of the sun and the gold of Yerushalayim, but just a beautiful based on the Midrashim. So it says, it says that Yeshayahu says in the name of Hashem that when Yerushalayim will be built in the future, it will be built. And I'll just show you, this is actually a direct pasuk from the Navi. I'll just read you in English. It says, "Behold, I will set down gems as your flooring stones and lay your foundation with sapphires. I will set your window frames with ruby and make your gates of carbuncle stones and your entire boundary of precious stones." Obviously, this is a magnificent imagery, but the idea being that Yerushalayim, that we are, so to speak, yearning for, is the most magnificently magnificent city. Obviously, this is physical things that represent the spiritual that we're talking about. And it's an interesting thing. It says that we ask Hashem to rebuild, as we're saying, Hashem, he should be part of the rebuilding, because we know that Hashem keeps all the mitzvahs that he gives us. And the pasuk tells us that the halacha is, somebody who kindled the fire shall make restitution, right? In Parshas Mishpatim, if you light a fire, you make damages. Well, you have to pay back. So we say to Hashem, you lit the fire to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Now you have to relight the fire and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash with the fire that you used to destroy, which also is symbolic of the fact that all of the things that we have suffered, all the challenges that we have gone through, they are all what is rebuilding Yerushalayim slowly and will be revealed very, very soon. Just want to see, there was one or two more beautiful ones. Okay. Just one more thing. Then there's another big question. Okay, so there's a very big question that people ask. And this actually doesn't only apply to this bracha, but it applies to quite a few of our brachas. So people say, people have been saying this tefillah for thousands of years, three times a day, tzaddikim, great people who sincerely meant it. And yet, where is Yerushalayim? Where is it built? Rebuilt? I mean, we have, Baruch Hashem, something, but nothing like what we want. As we say, it's a city which is constantly in danger. It doesn't have the Beis HaMikdash in it. We are missing so much. What are all these tefillahs for nothing? So we have a very magnificent thing. It says, it explains very beautifully, that all of the tefillahs, all the tears, all the yearning, all of the concentration that we put in, as we say Shemayna Esri every day, Hashem actually keeps it. And according to some opinions, that is the rubies and the stones and the sapphires. Those are the big building blocks by which Hashem is rebuilding Jerusalem now. Again, why it is in the present tense? Because our saying it every single day with sincerity is actually building it. We are building it now constantly, consistently, and with the most beautiful building blocks, and Hashem will use them and is using them to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Again, another just important thing to mention, because we say the word David, you see it says V'chisei David, right? The throne of David. Why do we mention so much about David? I mean, we're talking about Mashiach. David was already. So there's two ways to look at it. Either some people say that Mashiach will actually be a Gilgal, a reincarnation of David HaMelech himself, or as we know, on a simple level, Mashiach comes from David. We even have nowadays people who can trace their lineage to David HaMelech. It says the Maharal of Prague was able to trace his lineage all the way to Hai Gaon, who had his lineage traced back to King David, which means that there is a concept that Mashiach will come directly from David HaMelech, and that's why we mention V'chisei David Avdecha Mehera Satzmiach. Just want to see, I think that's all for this bracha. Let's stop over here. So, and just again, so as we say, just to remember as we are davening this magnificent bracha of rebuilding Yerushalayim, is that we are actually rebuilding it. It's not just a yearning, it is a yearning, but the yearning is actually building. That's what we are doing. We are building Yerushalayim, and that's why, as we say, it is in present tense. And what we're hoping for is for it to be revealed, and we should be able to be there very, very, very soon. And then we move on to the next bracha. The next bracha, again, this one, as we say, is quite connected, but this one is even more clear about what we are yearning for Mashiach. So let's see how he says. So he says, Essem, and this one is also puts in so many adjectives of, I don't know if that's the right word, not even adjectives, but adverbs. We're waiting for quick. We want like, it's like, it's almost like it's a demand. This one is even more demanding. What do we say? I'll just read you in the Ashkenaz and then in the Nusach Ari. Tzemach David Avdecha Meheira Satzmiach. I think it's almost exactly the same. The offspring of your servant David, may he speedily cause to flourish. V'karnai Tarim Bishuasecha, and enhance his pride through your salvation. Ki Lishu Ascha Kivinu Kol Hayayim. A very important part of this bracha, because we hope for your salvation all day long. Baruch Ata Hashem Matzmiach Keren Yeshua. Blessed are you, Hashem, who causes the pride of salvation to flourish. Just quickly in the Ari, also the translation is slightly different, but even though it all means the same, really. As Tzemach David Avdecha Meher Satzmiach, right? Speedily cause the one who comes from David HaMelech to flourish. V'karnai Tarim Bishua Secha, and increase his power by your salvation. Ki Lishuascha Kivinu Kol Hayayim, because for your salvation we hope the entire day. Baruch Ata Hashem Matzmiach Keren Yeshua. Blessed are you, Hashem, who causes the power of salvation to flourish. Just something again important to remember, as we've said, I know we've said it a lot of times, but when we say Baruch Ata Hashem, what that means is, when we make that bracha, it means that we believe, but it's a fact, it's for sure. Because you cannot make a bracha unless something's for sure. Like, you cannot say, I want to eat an orange, so I'm going to make the bracha Bayri Priya Eitz, and then I'm going to go see if I have the orange. You only make it when you have the food in front of you, right? Because the bracha has to be said with absolute certainty that it's there. So we have to realize, and we have to have that confidence when we are saying these brachas, that Hashem is listening, he is rebuilding Jerusalem, and he is hastily causing, hopefully, I don't know, Hashem has an interesting watch, but causing Mashiach to come quickly. So let's analyze a little bit about this bracha. I know we're going to start, I can see already that time has gone, and we're going to continue next week a little bit more. This is, again, one of the most, they're all beautiful, but again, to remember, we're not talking about something which is, you know, abstract, and, you know, you hope for in the 10, 20 years or 100 years or in the next generation or people who are worthy or are, I don't know what, we're talking about today for us, and it's a need, it's a yearning, and it's a need that all of us should feel literally like we need oxygen to breathe. We need this to be fulfilled. Let's understand, we say, this is, as we say, the centrality of the idea that Mashiach is a need. It's not just a icing on the cake. It is literally the purpose of creation. So we'll build up slowly to understand. So we know, we all know, we know the famous idea, the Rambam has the 13 animamins that we believe, right? The 13 principles of faith. And obviously the 12th and the 13th are both about Mashiach, and then Tchias HaMesim. And the Rambam, when he writes it and he talks about it in his halachas, he says that we have to believe in Mashiach, to magnify his greatness, to love him, and to pray that he will come, as it was prophesied by all the prophets from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu until Malachi, which is the last of the prophets that we have written. And he says, one who doubts this, these are the words of the Rambam, one who doubts this or who minimizes his greatness denies the Torah that testifies explicitly to the coming of Mashiach. Both, we have it in the Chumash, in the account of Bilam, and we have it in Devarim, in Parshas Nitzavim, all of the beautiful psukim, the prophecies of Mashiach. Included in this principle is that the Jewish people will only have a king from the house of David. Very important. That's why it's a very important part of the bracha. We're talking about from David HaMelech, right? That's part, as the Rambam said, halachically that we believe. And an offspring of Shlomo HaMelech. Anyone who disagrees with this, and the Rambam has a very strong language, he says, is somebody who denies Hashem and his prophets. It's a very strong language. So again, this belief is so central to our everything, if you want to say. And we know the Rambam says clearly, V'chol mi she'enay ma'amin bay, anyone who doesn't believe in Mashiach, ay mi she'enay mechaka lebiyasai, somebody who doesn't wait eagerly for his coming, lay b'shar nevi'im bilvad hukayfer, he's not just denying just all of the validity of the prophets, but rather u'b'maisha, but rather ela b'tayra u'b'maisha rabbeinu. He is denying the validity of Torah itself. So it's not an extra, it's not something that we say I'll work towards and I'm getting to it. It's the centrality, it's one of the most central parts of Yiddishkeit. And soon we have to understand why, but I just want to show you a few more beautiful things. It says like this, that just another interesting way that to look at it, he says, is this is a rational way of understanding the centrality of Mashiach to our whole Yiddishkeit, our whole, you know, everything that we do. So he says, interesting thing. I just want to read you a very beautiful, this is a person, Rabbi Yisrael Miller. He says a very fascinating thing. He says, even if you recognize that you are here on earth to perform mitzvahs and pass tests, if you mistakenly believe that life itself has no ultimate purpose, that it's only a game and there is no other reason for suffering and death, no plan or purpose in all that occurs, then you may be performing mitzvahs, but you're not doing Yiddishkeit. Everything has a purpose. And if we don't have Mashiach, we do not have a purpose to so much of what we experience. As we say, if you look throughout Jewish history, it's all, so to speak, coming towards that. We say, I believe, as we say, it is all part of the plan. That's part of our daily life, how we live. And as we say, with Mashiach, even though it's taking longer than we anticipate, but nevertheless, I know that everything is just leading up to the coming of Mashiach. We know the famous thing, and obviously in Chumash Bereishis, we have the bracha that Yaakov gave to Yehuda, which is the origin of David HaMelech. He comes from Shevet Yehuda. It says that La Yosur Shevet Mi Yehuda, the scepter shall not depart from Yehuda, Umechaykek Mi Bein Raglav, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until the arrival of Shiloh, which is Mashiach, and the nations shall submit to him. Going back a little bit further than that, we know that at the beginning of the creation of the world, if you look in Chumash Bereishis, what does it say? Hashem created the world, Bereishis Bara Elokim Es Hashamayim Ve'es Haaretz. And then one of the first few psukim, it says, I think it's the second or the pasuk Beis or Gimel, Ruach Elokim Merachefes Al Pnei Tahayim, right? It says that the Haaretz Haisa Toyu Vavayu, V'choshech Al Pnei Tahayim, right? The land was empty, it was desolate, and there was darkness on the face of the void. And actually there's four negative words there which actually correspond to the four exiles. But then what does the pasuk say? V'ruach Elokim, and the spirit of Hashem, mirachefes, was hovering al pnei hamayim, over the face of the earth. And all the explanations say, what is ruach Elokim? That is the ruach of Mashiach. Which means that as Hashem created the world in his initial creation, the first thing that he did, as we know, you say, Saif Maisa b'machshava tchila, when you set to do a task, if a person wants to be successful, they have the end in sight first, right? You know your goal, you know what you're working towards, because we say if we don't have a goal, you never get anywhere. The goal comes first. So first you set your goal, and then you break it into small bite-sized pieces, how we're going to get there. The goal of the creation of the world is the ultimate time of Mashiach. And why is that in a very simple level? Because we know that the whole purpose of creation, that Hashem created the world, he wanted a dwelling place for himself. He wanted a place where he would be revealed, where there would be godliness in a revealed way. When is it possible? When will that happen? That will only truly happen when Mashiach will come. And that's what we're working towards throughout the time of Golos. So as long as we haven't realized the whole purpose of creation, well then, Everything is just a preparation. It's not there yet. So it's such an integral part of our moment by moment, day by day life. We're trying to, we're getting there. That's why we have this famous, beautiful story it's a story which is told often, an anecdote actually, that it says, this is actually I just want to see from where it is. It's interesting that the Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote a letter to somebody called Yitzhak Ben Zvi. He was this Israel's second president actually, and he knew him from earlier, and he says, from the time I was a child attending cheder, and even before, the vision of the future redemption began to take form in my imagination. The redemption of the Jewish people from their final exile. A redemption of such magnitude and grandeur that through it, the purpose of the suffering, harsh decrees, and anguish of exile will be understood. This is what the Rebbe had in mind from when he was a child. He pictured it, he yearned for it, and we know, and I'm skipping a little bit, a lot of it, and we're going to go next week a little more, but I just want to share two beautiful things, because we all know, I mean, everybody knows, you know, some people laugh and say, oh, it's a Lubavitcher thing, Mashiach, because the Rebbe lived so much with Mashiach. We know that it has nothing to do with that. It's a central part of Yiddishkeit. And a very beautiful and magnificent one that is fascinating is the Chafetz Chaim himself, who was definitely not a Chabad, not a Lubavitcher, and not a Chassid of any sort. A very great tzaddik who lived in the previous generation. And we know that the Chafetz Chaim lived his life, literally everything was about yearning for Mashiach. We have so many stories. Never mind stories. It wasn't just stories. It wasn't just words. It says that the Chafetz Chaim, he was a kohen, and he was waiting for Mashiach all the time. And he even instituted, like he had a kollel where he instituted that 3 hours of the day, the people who were learning in the kollel should learn the section of kachim, which means the section which deals with what and how you will do in the Beis HaMikdash, because according the Chafetz Chaim, Mashiach is coming today, and we need to know what to do, exactly how to behave. I'll just share one beautiful story, and like I said, I skipped, and next week we will go more into the actual wording of this thing. Just a beautiful story that I saw of the Chafetz Chaim. It's such a magnificent one. It says that there was the Chafetz Chaim lived in Radin, as we know, in I don't know if it was Poland or which exact place, but Lithuania, wherever it was, he lived in a city called Radin. And sometimes he would go to a nearby city where he got to know, just to have some private time, and he got to know the Rav of that city. There was a wagon driver, a simple man, who would many times drive this other rabbi. This other rabbi's name was Rabbi Yosef Zundelhutner. And this other rabbi one time told this wagon driver, I see you're going to be in Radin. So when you meet the Chafetz Chaim, I have a message that I want you to pass on to him. First, the wagon driver was very excited. A message for the Chafetz Chaim. What could be better than that? He has the merit to be able to give a message from this great rabbi to the Chafetz Chaim. Anyways, but then when the rabbi told him the message, he wasn't so excited. What was the message? So it says he was hesitating. Finally, he met the Chafetz Chaim. He had no choice. He has to give over the message. And what is the message? The message is, he said, that the rabbi said to him, he blessed your honor that very soon you should walk barefoot, wear short pants, and carry stones on your chest. Now, this simple wagon driver had no clue, and this sounds like a curse. This doesn't sound like a blessing, and it sounds so disrespectful. When the Chafetz Chaim heard those words, his face lit up, and he explained to the wagon driver, wow, this is the best bracha you could have given me. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim would walk barefoot. In the Beis HaMikdash, they wore short pants, the Kohanim. And he's blessing me even more that not only should I be an ordinary kohen, but I should merit to be able to have the stones of the Choshen on my chest. This was to the Chafetz Chaim the greatest blessing possible. But we know we have many, many stories. As we say, the Chafetz Chaim was so, he used to say that if everybody would just be waiting and eagerly, as we say with this bracha, believing in Mashiach constantly. And we know the Chafetz Chaim practically had, apparently he had this extra, what we call a sitzuk, you know, the bekesh, or whatever you call it, the gar that they wear, the chassidim still wear now, but the black cloak. And he had one, a silk one, that he used to always pack when he traveled, that he never wore. And people asked him, why don't you wear it? It's pristine, it's fantastic, it's new. And he said, no, this one I'm saving because Mashiach is coming and I want to have my clothing ready. clothing in the perfect condition so that I can go and greet Mashiach. So practically speaking, he literally lived with Mashiach moment by moment. As we say, and this is what we say in this bracha, I'll just end with one small thing, and next week I'll do it a little more justice, just to go a little bit more in, but just a very important thing because it's so practical for us to remember. As we say the bracha, we say, Ki lishu ascha, ki vinu kalayayim, right, that we are asking for you to send your salvation because we trust in your salvation the entire day. And the Chida says, very beautiful, he says, what does this mean, because we trust in your salvation? He says, even if we don't deserve, even if we live lives that are not so compatible with Mashiach, which is obviously not the ideal, but even if we do that, if when we open up our siddur in the mornings and we say this bracha, we have in mind that we are truly yearning for Mashiach, he says, just in the merit of that, you will bring the salvation. In other words, because of the yearning, that in itself brings about the salvation. And that's why it says, one of the things that the Gemara tells us, and the Rebbe used to say it all, and the Chafetz Chaim said it many times, that the first thing that we will be asked when we go up to heaven, the neshama will be asked, Tzipisa li Yeshua, were you waiting? And Tzipisa is not just waiting. Did you have a vision? Did you have a yearning which was so real? Was it your reality? The salvation of Mashiach. Was that what you lived with moment by moment, day by day? And that's why we say, Kol Hayoyim, the entire day. We as people need reminders. We're physical people. That's why we have to say it. We say it verbally. And what that should do is it should wake us up every single day to remember that focus from Shacharis to Mincha to Ma'ariv, that this is something that we live with. This is really the ultimate purpose, and this is what we are all waiting for. And without it, everything else is almost, it's not nothing. Everything is everything, but it's all working towards that. That's the goal. That's the ultimate purpose of everything.